public comments. No public comments, folks. And we go to tab two and
You ready?
You're ready.
Am I not right?
No, consent agenda. I beg your pardon. Thank you, Lisa. Let's do tab one.
That's just got our minutes from last board meeting, November 14th, and also our annual Somerville County Appraisal District contract under consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agendas for them.
We've got a motion to second approve the consent agreement. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Now we're ready. Come on.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go over a few things, and I'm not gonna go over the financial statement in detail. But I will say this, if you ever want me to sit down with you and go over these financial statements in detail, I will do it at any time, but I think when we do it, we cannot have a quorum, because it won't be a regular meeting. If anybody wants me to do that, I will do that for them. Because remember, I work for you. I'm not the independent auditor. I work for you. Okay, the first thing I want to bring your attention to is page 39A. Kevin got a letter from the Texas Water Development Board, and he had made the call and talked to the gentleman about this, the gentleman saying, Daniel, this law, this section 16.356AB, you know, the books for 15 to 20 years, and now they're enforcing it. It's a statement saying that the money that the fees that you collect from the sale of water is used only for utility purposes, the production and distribution of water. So I'm showing them we collected $481,000 in water fees, and we spent a total of $1.7 million, which includes depreciation of $866,000. And I will explain that to you in a little bit about the depreciation, because it really went up, because we capitalized the water distribution system and the water treatment plant after the nano filtration system was completed. This past year, we capitalized it April 1st. So now you do not have any construction in progress on the books. And I'll explain that in more detail. Okay, let's go to page 21 and 22. That's where I'm going to explain it. If you look at the bottom of page 21, last year, at the end of the year, we had $32 million in, this is at the very bottom, in construction in progress. We had another $1.92 million that brought it up to $34 million. That $34 million was moved from construction in progress into capitalized assets. Most of it went into the water treatment plant and the distribution system. And if you ever want to see a breakdown of that, I have a detailed depreciation schedule. And that increased your depreciation. let me see. Several hundred thousand dollars. I can't think of the exact figure. But depreciation expense, if you look on page 22, $59,000. $59,607 of your depreciation is a direct expense of park and recreation, and $866,361 is a direct expense of the water and sewer. There's another $184,500 that's not allocated to anything. It's just general depreciation and the general fund. But when we capitalized the water treatment plant and the distribution system, We spent all the money that we got from the Texas Water Board, Development Board. That money has been spent. And we've done our major construction. All we have now is the water line extensions. That means we do not need the capital projects fund anymore. That's completed. So my recommendation is we close the capital projects fund, and all construction be run through the general fund. That's the way it's done. If a school passes a bond issue to build a school, that's done in the capital projects fund. Once that's completed, they no longer use the capital projects fund. If there's any money left and they pass the bond issue and the capital projects, that goes into debt service to do the debt, to pay on the debt. If there's anything, if you get the debt paid off left in the debt service, it goes to the general fund. So if you don't need a fund like a capital projects fund, you close it out. And that's what I'm recommending you do. And the way I would do it, we could do it either way. We could close it out as of right now, have a little bit of the capital projects fund on this current year, or I don't mind if we go back and amend it like it was closed at the start of the year. Because the only expenditures we're going to have out of the capital projects fund is the water line extensions. So we don't need it anymore.
That's the next agenda item on our agenda, is to close that account that he's recommending.
What if we got to a point where we were going to build another pump station, water tower? Would that still go to general?
No. If we do like we did the Texas Water Fund Board, we open up the new capital projects fund. You can have one, you can close it. It's just like a school. They build one school that's complete, they no longer have a capital projects fund. They build another school, we have a new capital projects fund.
If you built it out of your reserves, would you open it up, or would you use your capital improvement account in your general fund?
If you do it out of your reserve, you could do it out of your general fund. But if we're talking about something besides the water line extensions, you may really rather catch it and show it in the capital projects fund. That's your choice. But if you remember when you borrowed the money from the Texas Waterville Board, I was at that meeting and I asked one question, and that was, do you want this accounted for in a capital projects fund and a debt service fund? And they said yes. So that's the reason we did it. Well, really, that's what should be done. But I got a clarification from the Texas Water Development Board how they wanted it reported. So that's the reason we did it that way. But if it's your local money, you can make a decision whether you want to use capital projects or not. If you're talking about that type of construction, I probably wouldn't use a capital projects one. Just to track it easier.
Yeah, it's pretty clean that way. Mm-hmm.
Okay, on page 8, your water revenue increased from $155,697 in 2015. Your water revenue was $325,000 and increased to $481,016. And that's due to a significant increase in water customers. We had a big jump in water customers. Okay, we've already talked about the capital projects fund. Okay, we're going to talk about Gadsby 68. I didn't do a very good job explaining that last year. Lee had a bunch of questions. You remember that?
No.
On the pension?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try to do a better job explaining that. Okay, if you look at page 11. This page 11 is a balance sheet. It's called a statement of net position of all of the district's assets and liabilities. This includes the general fund, the debt service fund, and the capital projects fund. Okay, if you look, we got a title called Deferred Outflow Related to Pensions, $150,705. If you look down below that, we got net pension liability of $40,235. You see both of those numbers?
No. Hold on till we find them.
Okay.
Middle of the page on that deferred outflow.
Deferred outflows of resources $150,000.
Okay. Then you go on down.
Two-thirds of the way down, pension liability.
You see the deferred inflow of resources? $49,330.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Look above that, net pension liability of $40,235. Then deferred inflows related to pensions of $49,330. Those are the three numbers we're going to talk about.
Okay.
What was the last one?
It's called deferred inflow related pensions. This has to do with, these three accounts has to do with your retirement accounts. It's only on the government-wide financial statements. It's not on the fund statements. Remember, last year was the first year we implemented Chapter 68. Let me find the note. And you remember, it's a very long note on this financial statement. Starts on page 24. Lee, I'm trying to do a better job explaining this year.
I know it's extremely complicated.
Okay, the two important things you need to realize on this. We're doing your financial statements for the fiscal year ending 9/30/2016. The pension accounting that we're reporting on is that December 31st, 2015. That's why we have the deferred recent inflows, deferred outflows. Okay, page 27 shows you the change in your net pension liabilities and assets at the top. Has everybody got there?
Mm-hmm.
See, we start off at December 31st, 2014 with net pension liabilities of $846,674. And fiduciary net position, which is the assets that's in the pension plan of $806,088. And the $40,586 was our net pension liability last year. That's what was on the financial statement last year. Then you see all the transactions from December 31st, 2014 to December 31st, 2015. Then how the pension liability increased, but how the assets also increased, and we still have a net pension liability.
Now, we're the fiduciaries in this example.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. This is different than teacher retirement. There's only two entities that's contributing to your pension plan. That's the employees and the water district. The school districts have the employees, the school district, and the state of Texas.
Right.
So we just have two, which makes it cleaner.
Okay.
But remember, we're doing our financial statements as of September 30th, 2016. This is December 31st, 2015. We have contributions that the district and the employees made. It's not in this figure here.
Yes, for that 10-month period between the time they reported and the time we did our annual. But if you had to sum it up, would you say that, like, you get down at the bottom of 2015, if everything stopped today, everybody retired, and we quit paying in, there's benefits in the plan for $910,000.
No, that's what we owe. There's benefits in there of $870,000. Yeah, that. So
but the benefits to the employees are $910,000.
That's right.
And what we owe is $40,000 if everything stopped today.
If it stopped on December 31st, 2015.
As a fiduciary responsibility, if we closed the doors and everybody took their paycheck and went home on retirement, we would have to pay in 40.
That's right, at December 31st, 2015, according to the actual work.
And we'd pay $40,000 for 35.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a home run. And some of this lag is time frame, and some of it's earnings. Once they start earning more, we could actually see our rates go down. Say, if Fed funds went up.
That's right. That's the market. The market affects this because the money's invested.
That's right.
And that's what you see. Effective economic demographic gains or losses. A loss of 54.811.
So would you say, as an accountant, if you used round numbers, And we have an obligation of a liability of $900,000, and so we're about 5% underfunded at this current time. Because if it was $1 million and we had 40, that would be 4%. So this retirement fund, if is only about 5% underfunded.
Okay, yeah, you really, y'all are in very good shape compared to a lot of schools.
Oh, yeah, well, most pension funds at this period of time, to be in under 10% or less is exceptional.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exceptional.
Yeah, okay.
So that
makes sense right there.
Let me back up for a minute. And I wasn't going to say anything about this, but we had one of your vendors had a credit check, and we filled it out here recently, and they were asking me some things, some questions. And the question I answered, I said, this water district is run by, they were talking about them getting paid, that's what they were worried about. I said, this water district is managed by people of integrity. I'm talking about you. It's operated by people of integrity. I'm talking about Kevin, Kim, and John, and your employees. I don't think you have any problem getting your credit, did you?
No.
But I said that. That's what I felt. I just didn't say that. Because I feel like this entity is managed very well. It's run very well. And that's a credit to you and Kevin and the boards before y'all.
Absolutely. All right, so that makes sense now. I understand that.
Okay,
let me ask one
okay, go ahead.
In regard to this. This is a prerogative that we can make whether we pay this in annually regularly.
If you'll let me finish with what I'm going to say, I can explain something to you.
Got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, remember, that's at December 31st. Your financial statements are on September 30th.
Okay.
So there's about a 9-month lag.
All right.
Okay, look at page 30. This is my conclusion on this. You know, we talked about the deferred outflows and deferred inflows. Well, if you want to get a figure at September 30th, the $150,705, the deferred outflows, that's money that's going out into the pension plan on your behalf. That's assets to you. The deferred inflow, that's a liability to you. So if you add the $49,000 to the $40,000, you owe $89,000, but then you put your assets in, you're up about $70,000, aren't you? At September 30th. So what I'm saying, this fluctuates. I don't know if we can pinpoint this unless we shut the doors.
Right.
And I hope I've done a better job explaining this than I did last year.
You did. The first sheet on 27 is to me the best example.
Okay.
Now what the retirement program is doing, they're adjusting that rate that we have to pay in every year. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep this gap as small as they can keep it. Because there's lots of variables. There's how many people retire. There's what they get return on their investment, which the return on their investment is very poor right now because Fed funds are so low. But they're maintaining a very tolerable gap. When you're in 4% range of underfunded in this economic environment is exceptional in my opinion. Most, you know, ask the city of Fort Worth, they'd love to be 44%. Underfunded for their fire police and their retirement programs. Nobody else is 4%.
Man, I can say this entity is in very good financial shape.
And that wasn't what I was asking the question for.
Okay,
I'm asking the question here. Is that a prerogative that we can decide whether or not to pay to put this $40,000? If we wanted to, could we withhold that and show it as a debt instead of paying it?
What
I'm saying here is, how do these other
Well, a lot of businesses, when they go out of business or they file bankruptcy, a lot of times the pension fund suffers.
Well, yeah.
But you do have an obligation, I think, to pay the $40,000.
See, he's showing it here under our liabilities. He's showing the $40,000.
I'm sure it's a liability.
Under a liability.
But I don't understand why that this isn't the same liability as if we owed the bank.
It is.
And how do these companies get so deep in debt on their retirement
they're underfunded.
Yeah,
you're not underfunded.
Right.
A lot of these are underfunded.
Okay, then you're saying that if you were underfunded, you can choose what you...
Well, what they do is they go to bankruptcy court, and bankruptcy court lets them out of it.
Right.
Well, I understand, I hear that, yeah, I understand that.
We're having to follow the TCDRS rules, and if you look at the audit on TCDRS, which is our retirement plan, they're funded 95% statewide. Every district or county in the state is funded, same as we are.
So everybody's exactly the same as we are?
Yes, yeah, we're right on their average with how everybody's funded. It's because we have to follow the TCDRS rules every year when we make our contribution. They make us fund it 95%.
And how did the Dallas police get in?
They have their own funds.
I like that. I understand.
They're so big that they created their own retirement fund, and they're the only person in their retirement fund, and they just made some really bad investments.
All right, that is fine.
Well, and right, I think the employees put 7% in, and the district puts a little bit more in, and it changes everything.
Right.
When we do our budget, I know we always.
Right.
So what I'm saying is you're well funded on this, on your pension, and the way that you, looking at your financial statement, the only debt that you have, besides we're showing this little pension, is what you're paying back to the Texas Water Development Board. Do you remember a conversation we had about some, there's only one of those that you're paying interest on? This is a long time ago, and you said, well, somebody's paying. No, it's not affecting the taxpayer, because here's the way the Texas Water Development Board works. And I don't know how all of this really works, but the federal government owns a lot of these lakes, these dams, and they lease all this stuff down, and it goes and it trickles down. The Texas Water Development Board collects fees that way. That's the money they loan out to. So, okay, is there any questions or comments? Like I say, Karen, if you ever wanted me to sit down and go over this with you page by page, I could do that. But I won't take up any more of your time this morning doing that.
Well, I'm certainly glad to know that our pension fund is intact.
Yeah, because that affects you.
Thank you.
You bet.
You can try. Anybody got any questions?
I make a motion to approve the audit as presented.
Second.
There we go. Motion is second. Any other comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you.
I'm going to hang around for this capital project.
Huh?
I'm going to hang around while Jim...
Oh, for this next agenda item. This next agenda item is to close out that capital projects account and a budget revision to move all the money in that capital projects account back into the general fund.
Okay.
As Mr. Cody said, you know, without any more bond money, actually the money that's in there now was not bond money. This is money that we've put in, that we've transferred into that capital improvement account from our general fund. And now, well, you know, what we propose to do is move that money back into the general fund where it should be and just close out that capital projects until, you know, a time that we have another need for a capital projects account, which I don't see it happening anytime soon. Like the one instance that Larry mentioned a while ago, where we might build another water tower and a pump station would probably be the only thing we would ever need to do it for. We just don't have any more capital improvement projects on the horizon that would require it.
I make a motion we change the counts as printed.
We've got a motion to second to change the revision of capital projects. Any comments, questions?
I'd like to make a comment. Listen, yes. We need to think about how you would like to do this. You can close it like as of today, and I don't have any problem if we go back and close it at the start of the year and run all that stuff through And I can help Judy with these best interests. That's, that way it's all in the general fund. Because really, I kept it open until we got this money spent that we got from Texas Water.
We're proposing as of today, aren't we?
Yes, I'll have it closed this week.
I can handle it either way.
I see.
Which would probably.
I think we clear it, we move back to October 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll move it as of right now, but it, as far as booking it, you'll take it back to last year.
I'll take it back to October.
All right.
Like we shut it down on September 30th.
Okay.
2016.
Does that need to be in the motion?
Not necessarily. It's just a way to.
That's fine.
And I'll run that by Mr. Nelson, since he's the auditor, make sure he's on board with it. But I just thought it would show everything clearer that way.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Anybody got that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Careful, number four.
Next, this item, I've really taken it off as an action item. I'll just give you a report on what we were doing. All of our customers, all of our rural customers, we give a free membership to CareFly. We pay a dollar a month for them, and I don't know. I mean, do you even know that, Kevin? Kevin didn't even know. And that was kind of the problem we were having with it. CareFly's not done a really good job of letting people know. A lot of people know, a lot of people don't, but ever since, you know, we had about 50 employees, we've been doing this. It had gotten to be a lot of paperwork for Kim. She was having to go through a 30-page list of customers every month and add to it and take off of it. And it had just, you know, it was getting to where the juice really wasn't worth the squeeze. We talked to, we had the guy, Mr. Jim Schwartz, the CEO of CareFly, come in last week, and we sat down and visited with him. And he offered up a way for us to manage our CareFly enrollment that was really easy. Basically, what we're doing is we're only gonna give them a list of our customers once a year now. So Kim only has to really mess with it once a year when we more or less do an open enrollment. And then there, we're just gonna pay for a number rather than a list of people from now on. So, I mean, he's given us an agreement from them that says everybody that's a customer of ours is covered. So if anybody has a claim, whether they're on a list or not, if they're a customer of Somerville County Water District at the date of that claim, they'll get paid for.
Residential. Residential, not business.
Just residential customers. So, you know, it's still gonna, it's gonna cost us $400 a month. That's about what it's costing us now. It's gotten to be, you know, it's gotten to be more of an expense than it was when we first started. When we first started, it was just $50 a month, but now it's $400 a month. It's grown every year, but it's.
So we'll be anchored in until December 31st, and then we'll probably renegotiate or?
I think July is when we renegotiate. That's our annual. I mean, it's always a decision of you guys whether y'all want to continue to do that. I mean, a lot of people see it as a real benefit. We've had six claims against our plan since we started. Six people, I think he said $22,000 has been saved because of.
If we can, why not?
Yeah.
Would seem to be.
It's not that expensive. People.
The main thing is making it easy for us.
Right.
We're not creating work for us.
And we've done.
That's the main thing.
We've done that now. I think we've made it.
So hopefully we solve that.
We've made it easy to manage. And I didn't really want to propose doing away with it, but it was just getting to where it was too much work for Kim. I mean, we were.
To account for.
I didn't want to have to hire another person.
Yeah.
To account for CareFly, but now I think that we've solved that. So we can continue, as long as y'all are okay with it, we can continue to provide that benefit. It costs us a dollar a month per family. And now I think we've solved the paperwork portion of it.
Is that really a selling point for customers?
You know.
They could do it on their own for.
50. It's 50. Is it $50? It's $50 a family per year. If you do it on your own, we're able to provide it to them for $12.
I don't think it gets us more water customers. I think it's just a nice thing to do for the people.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. New customers realize it because they were having to fill the paperwork out whenever they came in. I think we're going to start putting it on our bills. When people see their bill, there's going to be a reminder that says, don't forget, you're a member as a Somerville Water District customer. You're a member of CareFlight if you ever have that need.
What do they sell? How does that work if you turn in the list once a year and they sell their property and they're no longer a customer, somebody else is doing it?
The way this agreement we've got is whoever is the customer is covered. As long as we can go back and
prove their customer.
Prove. As long as, you know, I write a letter to CareFlight and say this person was a customer of Somerville County Water District on this day, then they'll accept that as proof of coverage. We've only had 6 claims in 5 years, so there's not that many claims to deal with. You know, it's an average of about 1 claim a year, so it's not, as far as they're concerned, it's not going to be that hard to work it out.
Okay.
You don't need action. It's not an action item.
No. Not, the way it ended up working out, there's not an action item. I wanted to. I'll tell you what was going on.
Water line.
Every year we bid out our annual water line contract. We bid it out and, you know, it's a unit price contract. We have a bunch of different line items. How much, you know, 4-inch pipe, 6-inch pipe, 8-inch pipe, 10-inch pipe, 4-inch pipe in rock, 4-inch pipe in dirt, 4-inch pipe in sand. You know, we bid out every scenario as to what the contractor is going to encounter out there throughout the county. And it's been working out really well for us. We've been lucky to have 2 good contractors since we started. We started with Fambro Construction out of Stephenville, and then the last 3 contracts we've had CJB out of Granbury, and both of those guys have been really good. This year we got 3, we had 3 contractors bidding on it, and it was really close between McInerney Construction and CJB. CJB's been doing our work for us. McInerney came in and beat them by less than 5%. Or no, it was less than 1%. Less than 1%. I mean, it was really tight. We had to go back and apply the numbers to all of last year's, every bit of work that we did last year, we applied this year's bid numbers to it to see who would have been, whose set of bid prices would have been lowest from all the work we did last year. And that these numbers that you're looking at, this $1.669 million, that's McInerney's numbers applied to every bit of work that we did last year. And you can see, you know, he just barely beat them. McInerney's a local contractor. I like that about his bid. He's fairly inexperienced in the waterline business. They've just been doing it, you know, 6 or 8 months. I did talk to the references, and you know, they don't have bad references. I know Donnie McInerney. Y'all probably know him as well. But you know, he's going to be able to get be bonded and as a little better or recommended awarding the contract to him this year.
I make a motion we go with McInerney Construction for the annual extension contract.
Yeah, 1 second.
Motion and second. McInerney for construction 2017. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Have y'all had any notice of line locates or anything out on 318 on my road in 56? Martha said there was like 6 trucks there at the intersection the other day, Atmos and a bunch of them, and it looked like they were line spotted, and I've noticed some marks on the road out there. But nobody's contacted you?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 6. I didn't know y'all were going to take holidays.
We've never asked you since I've come to work here. The water district agreed we just follow the county holidays.
Yeah.
And it was, it's been an automatic thing. Almost every December, we get calls from a board member or two saying, let's take off that week between Christmas and New Year's. We used to do it before we started selling water. We'd take off that week. And whenever we started selling water, we stopped doing it. But, you know, it happened again last year. I got asked, why don't we just close down? And I hate to close that week between Christmas and New Year's without it being an action of the board. So we haven't done it the last 2 years, even though I've been asked. This year I wanted to give it to you guys early enough and let the board make a decision, let it be a policy decision, whether that happened or not.
What would you do about emergency?
We would have, we'd have somebody on call. Yes. And we'll have to pay a treatment plant operator holiday pay, which is time and a half, to run the plant, because somebody will have to be at the plant during that time. And then we'll have somebody. How would you do it? You'll have somebody on call? John will have somebody.
I would propose you close the park too and let those people have that week off.
It's a dead week anyway.
Depending on the weather for the park and all that, but it doesn't make any difference. I think we're incredible value to our customers by having affordable water, by having affordable taps. And we ought to, a key to that is being really efficient with our employees. Not having a lot of employees, being a unique place to work. You know, I would propose that we close on Christmas Eve at noon and not open till the day after New Year's, wherever that falls. And let everybody be off. It's at minimal cost to us. So what if somebody can't come in and pay their bill? We need to train them up to where they pay their bill easy for us. We don't have to be a convenience store. We're in the business of providing affordable water and maybe some of the cheapest water in the state of Texas. Make it a unique place to work. Make it unique for our employees, just like we make it unique for our customers.
How many walk-in customers do you have that pay?
During this week, there was only about two, because it's an odd time. Mm-hmm. You know, bills are due on the 15th.
What's the most convenient way for customers to pay?
The most convenient is credit card. Go online and pay it online themselves through our website.
We ought to be pushing everybody we can to doing that.
We are.
Yeah. And if we can figure out incentives to make them do it, we ought to do it and make it convenient.
You know, if we end up doing this, we could, for that particular month, we could hold off on turning anybody's water off if it looked like they, you know, they may have tried to pay.
Give them a week of grace.
Yeah, we could give them a week.
Well, it's Christmas. Now, if it's here, it's not free water that week. It's just that you don't get your water cut off that week.
You know, we do have almost 500 customers, but still our cutoff list is not so many people that Kim can't get on the phone and call them all and say, hey, right, get in. I think Kim babies some of them a little bit.
What is the average problem with having to cut water off per month, would you say?
How many numbers
do we have?
Two, maybe?
We did two last month.
Yeah, we had two last month.
And that's high. Normally there's one.
Didn't we raise the fee?
Mm-hmm.
Since we raised the fee.
So that should get their attention a little bit, maybe.
We've only had that new fee paid twice, and it was the same person both times. So.
Did they complain about
it? No. Oh, no.
Is December any heavier than any of the others?
What size water bill did they have, though, that had to have it cut off?
About $50.
And so they ended up having to pay a $100 penalty on a $50 bill. 2 months in a row.
And that was me, Ben.
I go through and I contact everybody because I hate turning people off. And so even contacting them, you know, they still.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well,
I don't think
You know what Gump said?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't think that weak closing hurts our customers, and I think it's a great benefit to our employees.
You gonna make that motion?
What, Carrie, what do you think? What do y'all think about that?
Well, I'm trying to, I'm just wanting to ask how many people used to come into the park that time too, because I could see how people are off from school. It's a good time to come fishing and stuff like that.
We had, now we've always let them off on Christmas Day. Ever since they started. So they do get, they always get Christmas Day off. But I did go back and look. I think there were between 30 and 40 people came in that week last year. It was a real pretty week. So we did have some people come in. We collected $70 during that week.
And that's when we still had voters.
Right.
Some of those
were no, I was wrong about that. We didn't have this last Christmas. We didn't have voters, and that was I was thinking about the Christmas before. But it doesn't matter to me if y'all want to leave the park open. That's fine.
Those are older couples, and they're going to have kids and grandkids somewhere, and maybe if they're far enough away, I don't know that we'd have time to go do it instead of having just 24 hours to go see it.
Yeah, because if you're off, you're just going to close the main gate down.
If we shut everything down, we can just close the front gate. That's what we used to do at Christmas before we got so busy. And then
I think it's a nice benefit with minimal cost to us.
You know, let's try it, and if we get a lot of complaints, we'll reconsider.
Right.
Next year.
Just post it.
You don't, you don't make a motion.
I make a motion that we close Christmas Eve at noon. And open the day after New Year.
Till the 2nd of January.
There's an example. The 2nd of January would be Sunday, and you open on Monday the 3rd. What? But
The park's open on Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, in that example, but this office would not open on that Sunday. Yeah. So however it works out, we open
the intent is to be open be closed that whole week during Christmas.
And that's the office and the park.
That's my intent.
Yes. Second. Okay, we've got a motion and second that we close Christmas Eve at noon to the day after January, the day after New Year's Day.
Yes, whenever it's appropriate.
When it's appropriate, according to the calendar. Okay, any further comments? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
No opposition, ayes have it. And we are.
This TIPS interlocal agreement. TIPS program is like ByBoard. It's a government purchasing program. I think something came up we needed to buy off of. We needed to buy a piece of furniture through them last month.
And we bought some of that equipment we have, the rolling stock, through TIPS, haven't we, through the years?
Was it through TIPS or was that through ByBoard? That's through ByBoard.
ByBoard's different than TIPS?
Yeah, ByBoard's, TIPS is just like ByBoard. It's just a different
okay.
one. Asking you to, we need an interlocal agreement to participate in the TIPS program.
Is that a state organization?
Yes, it is. It's just, I don't know why it's different than ByBoard. It's just a different outfit.
There's another one other than ByBoard, isn't there, John?
Houston Gelson.
Yeah.
HGAC.
I make a motion that we allow the general manager to do the interlocal agreement for TIPS.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further comment on TIPS interlocal agreement? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. I'll go to TIPS. We'll go to 8. Gentlemen.
We got, if you go to the second page of that waterline extension list, you'll see where we're at. We're still hung up in the Oaks down. I say hung up. We've expected to be there this long. It's actually gone pretty good. The weather's cooperated this year, so we've gotten quite a ways. I'll bet, where are we, maybe 75% finished putting pipe in the ground, and we've got maybe a sixth, a quarter of it got water to the customers. So it's going pretty good. If you're familiar with the Oaks, that road that comes in and then it loops around, we've got all that done. The only thing that we've got left is that tip at the very southernmost, southeasterly most tip of it is all that's left to get done. We've had a lot of customers sign up out there. That's going to end up being a good project for us.
And we will have the full Oaks available for new move-ins if they want.
That's correct. And we've picked up a couple since we've started out there. We've picked up a couple of new move-ins that, you know, they're getting on our water line rather than drilling well. So.
New construction?
New construction. Yeah, was it two or three?
Two
new construction since we've started out there.
Yeah, that's good.
I think I'm not showing it underway, but the very next one, the County Road 2007, that's underway as well. And that's where we're going to draw the line between CJB construction and McInerney. McInerney's going to start there at that Highway 56 North Bridges crossing. And actually, I think the first one they're going to do is County Road 1001 Bridges.
What's that TxDOT?
What do you mean by that? Those, we were waiting on permits. Those are crossings, and we have to permit those with TxDOT. It takes us sometimes two or three, 4 weeks to get a permit, and that's what we were waiting. Those we've actually got those TxDOT permits already.
Any state highway, you have to bore.
Right, and we have to permit them all.
Now, in the county, you just cut.
Right. With county, the county allows us to just cut them.
Yeah.
We patch them back with base, and eventually the county will come back and.
Yeah.
In the state highway, you got a board in case.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Next item is our bank statement balances. You can see we've got most of our tax money in. I think Wes said we're already. Over 95% collected, maybe 98% collected. So the President District's done a good job collecting this year. That's about all we're going to get. Next time you see this report, that capital projects box right there in the middle, it'll be gone. That money will have been moved back up to the general fund. Might mention that very last box down there, the capital maintenance and trust, to remind you that, you know, when we set that up, it was with the intent that whenever the time comes that we have a major capital improvement, you know, we've put a lot of capital improvements in the ground. If we ever have a failure and need to replace something in the middle of a budget year, that's where we intend to fund it from. Next month, I'll probably have the first item come up that I'll ask you guys to fund out of that maintenance and trust. Down at the plant, we're having problems with the compressor. And it may be a $25,000-$30,000 problem that's not budgeted. So you know, it'll be appropriate. And that's why we set that up. You know, we intended to fund our maintenance out of the interest from it, and that'll probably be close to, you know, an interest payment from the whole fund. But we'll have an opportunity to use that fund next month.
You can answer me. I didn't quite follow. Okay, we're only allowed to hold so much in. From the sale of water.
What he was saying was there was a restriction. Whenever the Water Development Board loans you money for improvements, you can only spend your money toward other water improvement uses, which for us, everything we do is other water improvement uses. Now, I think that rule is intended more for cities. They don't want to loan a city some money for their water system and then the city turn around and use it on a baseball park or their road fund. I think they're making cities reuse their water revenue in their water department. So it's more targeted for different entities other than water districts, but I think everything that we would spend money on in a given year, we can say that's the water business. So it really doesn't. It's just a statement he has to make. I don't think there's anything that.
Okay. I think it would be helpful too to keep in the Capital Main and Second, you have the maturity dates of these CDs. It would also, this also reflects interest that's been rolled in through all the years. So if we would put our cost basis, what we paid in, and then that way we have a number of what the interest is, because there's going to be way more interest than $25,000 to buy that motor.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that you can, and we may have already accrued $100,000 or more interest in this account. So we don't lose track of what we put in there and what we've earned. Okay. Because this has been going on 3 or 4 years now, I think.
Yeah,
we'll do that. But as a good example, right now, all his capital expenditure, he's amortizing $184,000 a year in depreciation. Exactly what he's talking about on a compressor that has to go out is depreciated, and there's things that fail, and we got $25,000. But if Fed funds will come back up to normal looking, $7 million at 2% generates $140,000 a year. That equals close to what we're depreciating in earnings alone without spending on principal. Could work out real well when interest rates go up.
Yeah.
To where you can fund some of these expenditures.
Absolutely.
That you're recognizing as expense every year of $184,000. So it could work out pretty good on that. But it'd be nice to know what is accrued interest.
How much of that is interest?
Right.
We can do that.
Yeah, and it just as a benchmark of knowing what we have available for capital expenditures that's interest earned instead of part of what we paid in.
And most of these were $1.5 million put in, so you can, you know, just glancing, you can get a good idea of what.
We didn't have to change them when we put some other stuff in there, didn't we do some of it?
No, we're going to change them this next go round.
To where we made them uneven, not at 1.5 to get. Keep them in groups of four instead of having to split them up. I can't even remember that.
I don't remember, but we can can add
a. We're 1.5 when we started.
We can add a line item down there, or a couple line items. One of them being original principal, and then another one being interest. So you can see at a glance how much of it is interest.
And it may be just simply as a total. You can put one item on there saying interest accrued.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't have to do it for all five. You can just put total interest accrued for the whole lot.
Okay.
Any way we know what was separated.
The question on depreciation, what has he got set up for all of our stuff to help on a depreciation time?
Everything's getting depreciated now. If it's coming out of the capital improvement budget, it's getting depreciated.
Yeah, but over what period of time is it totally depreciated?
I can't remember.
I think it's
15 years.
To asset.
I think he's, as a general rule, he's using 15 years on everything.
Yeah.
If I'm right. I don't know, Larry. I
would think on pipe and stuff,
it's more than that.
Shouldn't be maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
A standard accounting procedure for that stuff.
I'll find out. I can't remember what.
Valves and things like that.
It's all got to be different stuff.
Yeah.
Buildings would be different than what's in the ground.
Yeah, I'll find out. It's not 15 years. It's more than that. It's 30 or 50, but I'll find out for you.
And I don't know that he's even depreciating the dam and things like that. I don't know how he deals with it. Doesn't make any difference. He's booking 180 a year. And if we can ever get where we're earning interest of 180 a year, what he's booking, we're ahead of the game.
Next report is water usage report. Sold a lot of water this month for a January. I guess that's right. And dry.
Yeah, water.
If you compare it to last January, we sold 12 million gallons. This January we sold 14.
Who's the other commercial customer in England? You picked up.
Remember who we picked up commercially?
I'm trying to think.
We had a commercial customer. Who was that?
Kevin's.
Brian Waylock.
Heading 144 south. where, what's the car lot guys, what's his name?
Brian Whitlock.
Brian Whitlock added some cabins down there.
Yes, he had five.
Yep, we set him a commercial meter on those cabins. I think he's gonna build five more, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
He just let us know he's gonna build five more, so, and end up with 10 cabins right there. Next report is the park report, not a whole lot of usage for January. And then the rest is your typical monthly reports.
Harry, got a question. Now that we're all legal on all of our MCLs through TCEQ and everything, won't you or John check and see what it would take for us to become a superior water supply? I don't know if that's a time frame or how you go about that. But
I agree.
That would be something that we could really start putting signs up saying we're superior.
Sounds good anyway.
Sounds good. All right, we'll check on that. Do you know off the top of your head?
Submit tests for 3 years, or there's a time period you have to. I checked into that once.
There's an approved water supply.
Yeah.
And there's a superior water supply.
Right.
And so if we could get either one of those, and what that allows you to do is put signs up and just say Somerville County Water District superior water supply.
Picture that big old fish at Boy Carr.
But you think it's a 3 year?
It's several years. I mean, it may just be a year and a half, but there's a time period that you have to have.
We'll check on that.
And they're not many. I thought
sure there'd be one here in this center.
It's a bold print like Larry's. I make motion we adjourn.
What he was saying.
Look how little Finn's pressed in and how big board member Larry is.
Well,
I mean, you barely have a seat pressing on Ben. And Larry,
thanks,
I guarantee Larry had something to do with that.
you really planned way ahead knowing what was going to happen there, Larry.
I had to bring it up about 3 years ago.
We got a motion to adjourn that before this deteriorates any further. All in favor?
Aye.